Welcome to Alaska Outdoors Magazine with host Evan Swenson. You're invited to come along with us as we bring you accurate and authentic answers for Alaskans by Alaskans. If it's in the outdoors and in Alaska, it's right here on Alaska Outdoor Magazine. Now here's Evan Swenson, your host for Alaska Outdoor Magazine.
Good afternoon. I'm Evan Swenson, and today we'll be talking with Carl Douglas. Carl Douglas, not his real name, is the author of Las Phoenix, an historical novel about the CIA's ill-conceived Phoenix program. Carl is an outdoorsman, and the main character of Las Phoenix is an Alaska big game guide. Now let's talk. Let's talk to Carl Douglas. Good afternoon, Carl.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
And to you.
On your book, The Last Phoenix, which I have read, why do you not use your real name as the author?
I'm a very private person. I don't want people to know who wrote it, and there are particular people I don't want to know who wrote it. I like peace and quiet and living with my wife without anyone bothering me about this. I think the story ought to be told, but I don't particularly want to be in the limelight about the telling of it.
Well, the book, of course, as we announced, is about the CIA's ill-conceived program, the Phoenix program, and we're going to get to the outdoors part of it in just a moment, but what was your involvement in Vietnam, Carl?
The CIA has a good response to that. I'll neither confirm nor deny any part of this. I've been there, let's put it that way, and I'll tell you this much. I was in the Navy for 10 years during the unpleasantness in Vietnam.
Now, would it be a fair question to ask you, is this an autobiography in any way?
It's a fair question, but I'm not going to answer it.
So the main character is may or may not be you.
That's right. It may or may not.
Are you are you an Alaska big game guide?
No.
Have you hunted in Alaska?
Oh, yes, sir.
Tell us about your experience of hunting in Alaska.
Well, let's see. They've been almost uniformly positive. I went down on the peninsula once and got left for a while from a plane, but the guide, if you can dignify him with that, was a bit slow in his response and finally had an attack of conscience and came back and got me. However, my other trips were caribou and for moose have been uniformly superb. The guides were honest professionals and have become friends. I've been extensively in the tundra country up around Point Barrow and Kotzebue, Kulik River, all those areas of vast expanse and little to see except the grand vistas of caribou herds and the most magnificent moose in the world. I was successful. I have some gorgeous trophies. I've eaten lots of meat. In fact, I rarely eat anything but nice, fat-free red moose and elk meat.
So you're, it sounds like you are an outdoorsman.
I'm that.
Uh-huh. Did you have experiences in Vietnam in the outdoors, Carl?
Vietnam is almost entirely the outdoors. Yes, indeed.
We have a caller that we'd like you to talk to, and I know that he's had some similar experiences, incidentally, because he's a friend of mine, Glenn Guy. Glenn, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir, and how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Carl Douglas, the author of Last Phoenix, is my guest. I we are friends, and we have talked about your involvement in Vietnam and some of your outdoor experiences there. I think you have read his book, Last Phoenix.
I certainly have, and I have enjoyed it. I'm a great fan of yours, Mr. Douglas. I think you have told a pretty truthful story. I'm an ex-Marine A4 driver, and I had been shot down there, and I had spent some time with the Montagnards and wandered around those jungles lost for a spell. And I'll tell you, some of your descriptions and things could only have been written by someone who had the firsthand experience.
I appreciate that. It is indeed a humbling experience, as the religion people say.
Yes.
Glenn, Carl is a little bit vague on some of his answers as far as his personal involvement in this is concerned, but you mentioned that some of his things that you read about was right on in your experiences as well. Now, you were behind enemy lines for an extended period of time, were you not?
Yes, I was. I had spent some time with the Magyars, and some of his descriptions of their villages, the way they lived, absolutely the food they ate, people would not really even come close to understanding the lifestyle and the way that those people live, and a lot of it's by choice. The Montagnards that I dealt with really didn't want anything to do with the war, didn't want anything to do with North or South Vietnam. They just absolutely wanted to be left alone, and I think that they were the people probably that were really pulled in the middle of that whole affair over there. And the explanation and some of the things that Carl had talked about as far as what the spooks were doing over there, that's pretty good firsthand information from what I've known, and I dealt with some of the people that worked with the CIA, and I, of course, the military, not only just the CIA, but everybody's dispensable. We're all throwaways, and we were all throwaways. I was an obvious one that was a throwaway. They didn't come looking for me, and they figured I'd been killed. So I can understand, or I have to empathize with Mr. Douglas. If he was one of those unfortunates that got thrown away, well, I'm blessed that he has made it back, and that he did make it back, and that he's got the cojones to write about it and tell about it.
Here's a question that I'm glad you called, Glenn, by the way, because this brings up an opportunity that I have of asking both of you from a different perspective and see what you think about it. I was in a bookstore, and The Last Phoenix was on the shelf. I was looking at it, and someone come up, and they said to me, "What do you know about this Last Phoenix, this Phoenix program?" And I commented to them that only what I had read in this book. And with a very stern look on their face and a very determined pitch to their voice, they said, "Everything about that Phoenix program was rotten, and I hated it, but it should never be brought to the public. We should just forget it." How do you feel about that, Carl and Glenn? Carl first, please.
Well, I think that's the very essence of the problem. Let's forget about it. Let's sweep under the rug those things that we don't like. Let's have John Wayne be our hero, and let's pat ourselves on the back because we stand for good and truth and all those democratic things that Americans do stand for. And in fact, the average American does stand for. Unfortunately, there are people now, and have been, who have abused viciously that standing and that sensibility of Americans. The CIA has been, and as far as I'm concerned, still is, above the law and beyond the law. They have an economy which they don't have to account for. They have monies that are filtered through such places as the Department of Agriculture. They can do things, they can foment things that Americans would not stand for. The average American soldier, Marine, that went to Vietnam did so because he was ordered, did so in perfect innocence, obeying the law. And the CIA and the Phoenix program was a vicious undercutting of the honorable profession of arms that America has stood for since 1776. But I think people ought to be ashamed of it, and it ought to be prevented from happening again.
Well, Glenn, Carl obviously has a financial stake in this. He, with the sale of his books, he could receive some return on his investment. You have no financial stake in that, and some of the people that I've talked to in your like circumstances, they've indicated that they'd just like to forget it, too. Now, you read the book. How do you feel about "Let's Just Forget It"?
You know, when I came back, the Vietnam veterans were really looked down on. And like Carl just said, we were obeying orders. We were serving our country in the best tradition of American soldiers, Marines, sailors, Air Force. I have absolutely not one fading doubt that I would fight again for my country. I think that the way things were done and the way it was done over there with the CIA and all the behind-the-scenes action that was going on that prevented a war to be finalized, to be culminated in a victory as well as honorably, I think, was stymied from the start. I believe that he did his research infallibly from what I read. I could find nothing wrong with what he had written. Yes, people want to leave it lay. Just, I mean, what he said pretty much fits the scenario going on in our country today.
Well, do you want to leave it lay, or do you want it? You want people to read that book?
I'd like to see people read that book and find out what it was really all about.
Huh.
I really do. I don't believe that it should be a story. I don't think anything should be left uncovered.
Uh-huh.
I do believe that, yes, we had that same thing going on in World War II and World War I, but not to that degree, not to the degree and the atrocities that the CIA was allowed to do.
Hmm. Well, we're going to take a break. If Glenn and Nicole, if you'd hold on through the break, we'd appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Alaska Outdoor Magazine, your window to Alaska Outdoors.
There's an author masterminds book by Carl Douglas, neurosurgeon turned author, writes with gripping realism, all in jest. How the jest comes about is worth the reading. The book is full of fun, humor, anger, fear, pathos, intense emotional conflict, and tense and riveting courtroom drama. There is a considerable amount of theater outside the courts as well. You will want to read it in one sitting and pass it along to your family and friends the next day. You'll find all of Carl's 28 novels with the publication consultant's logo on the cover at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and everywhere good books are sold. If you'd like to be an author masterminds published author like Carl Douglas, neurosurgeon turned author writes with gripping realism, publication consultants can help. If you've written a book, if you're writing a book, or if you're thinking about writing a book, call for the free booklet, Bringing Your Book to Market. Call 349-2424. All in Jest was just a dream until Carl ordered his own Bringing Your Book to Market. Publication consultants will send you the booklet free. Call 349-2424 for the free booklet, Bringing Your Book to Market. 349-2424. Carl Douglas called. And now All in Jest is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and everywhere good books are sold.
Welcome back to your window to Alaska Outdoors, Alaska Outdoor Magazine. We're glad you decided to come along with us.
Well, Glenn, I appreciate you calling. Anything you wanted to leave with the call before we move on?
Carl, just keep writing. If you got more to say, say it.
Thanks a lot. You too. I have all the respect in the world for you. You're certainly a better performer than I am.
Well, gee, does that mean you've seen my show?
I've been hearing all about it.
Ah, I just wondered if you were secretly in my audience.
No.
He wouldn't tell you if he was, I'm afraid, Glenn.
Okay, well, good talking to you, Evan.
Okay, we'll see you a little bit later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Carl, now that Vietnam is, what, 25 years history? I mean, it's a long time ago. The CIA is continuing on. What's your opinion of the CIA? How do you feel about them?
Well, I don't think that they changed much. I think they're about as secretive as they were. Some of that secretiveness is good where it comes to collecting information. But I don't think that their covert activity is good. I don't think it ever has been. There's been very little gained for the United States by any of their actual covert activities. Many of the things that they did do in Vietnam were carried on even against the citizens of the United States. There's a program called CHAOS, which was illegal surveillance of so-called enemies of the Washington establishment. They were simply regular citizens who didn't like what was going on in Vietnam. Al Santoli, in a book called Everything We Had, said, "I have to conclude that all that in Vietnam was an advanced boot camp to train operatives for other kinds of terrorist activities that the United States runs all over the world." Unfortunately, there's ample evidence of that, and the CIA has been obliged to admit that publicly, murder of the president of Chile, for example. I think that the oversight for that organization needs to be extraordinarily tight. I think that they need to account for what they spend. I fear them, and I think the people of the United States ought to. We do not need them to humiliate us or to get us involved in things where we should not be for causes we don't believe in, for which Americans don't stand for.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, Carl. When we come back, I'd like to ask you about other ideas that you may have with the current news on government right from the top of our president right on down, and then particularly here in Alaska, where we're faced with the takeover of our fish and game management by the Department of Interior, Brother Mr. Bruce Babbitt. We'll ask you about how you feel about government generally in those things, if there's any comparison between what's happening now and in Vietnam, the CIA, the Department of Interior, if you would. Just your comments on that. When we come back, we'll ask you about that. When we come back, and we'll continue our visit with Carl Douglas, author of Last Phoenix, and we'll save time later for today's One Last Cast.
There's an author masterminds book by Carl Douglas, neurosurgeon turned author, writes with gripping realism, All in Jest. How the Jest Comes About is worth the reading. The book is full of fun, humor, anger, fear, pathos, intense emotional conflict, and tense and riveting courtroom drama. There is a considerable amount of theater outside the courts as well. You will want to read it in one sitting and pass it along to your family and friends the next day. You'll find all of Carl's 28 novels with the publication consultant's logo on the cover at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and everywhere good books are sold. If you'd like to be an author masterminds published author like Carl Douglas, neurosurgeon turned author writes with gripping realism, publication consultants can help. If you've written a book, if you're writing a book, or if you're thinking about writing a book, call for the free booklet, Bringing Your Book to Market. Call 349-2424. All in Jest was just a dream until Carl ordered his own Bringing Your Book to Market. Publication consultants will send you the booklet free. Call 349-2424 for the free booklet, Bringing Your Book to Market. 349-2424. Carl Douglas called, and now All in Jest is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and everywhere good books are sold.
Welcome back to your window to Alaska Outdoors, Alaska Outdoor Magazine. We're glad you decided to come along with us. Now let's turn to today's guest, Carl Douglas, author of Last Phoenix. All of this news, Carl, that we've got on government, and then, of course, I just read about Bruce Babbitt taking over the management of fish and game in Alaska. Your feelings about the CIA, do they expand beyond that? Tell us how you feel about it.
It ought to be evident that I'm not that crazy about big government. Bruce Babbitt certainly qualifies for the title of big government. I can't imagine anything more heavy-handed since the Whiskey Rebellion in 1779, where the government steps in, the government being those wise old men in Washington, and takes over an obvious state function as a punishment. Talk about raw demonstration of power from the federal government. There's another example of that, you know. Utah learned that a massive chunk of its territory was going to be created into a national park when our esteemed president held a news conference with the Grand Canyon in the background. Leaders of the state were not informed at all beforehand. It was both politically correct, a great political contest. He was trying to get to be reelected, but the people of the state of Utah bit the bullet. It sounds to me like the people of the state of Alaska are going to have the same opportunity unless they stand up and fight. Whatever the issue and all the rights and wrongs of this issue are, if you don't stand up and fight against the federal government, they will exercise their inordinate power. Remember that you do have power. You don't have to let the federal government ride roughshod over you. they own most of Alaska, but you don't have to let them make the laws for you, and you got to stand up and fight.
We've got about 5 minutes left. So let's talk about specifically about your book. Tell us what it's about, the purposes of it, maybe a story or two out of it. Anything you want to tell us about Last Phoenix?
We've been talking about the big picture of this all. It's something of a polemic against the CIA and its abuses, but I think it's a good story. People that have sat down and read this rather long book think it is, too. It's a story of kind of the boy next door, middle America boy that kind of runs afoul of the law, relatively mildly, in fact, but gets engineered into the Army. He fits the profile that the Phoenix people were looking for perfectly. He's an orphan, doesn't have anybody to answer to, and as a practical matter of fact, nobody cared. He was moved into the CIA training program specifically designed to be involved in the predecessor of what became the Phoenix program. Phoenix program was a program to interdict the civilian infrastructure of the Viet Cong. It employed computer methods to discover people. It used methods of snatch and snuff and intimidation and torture. Unfortunately, Americans were involved and directed it. This is the story of a boy who descended into what Conrad called the heart of darkness, much like the other boys in America descended. I remember talking to a boy who was about 18 years old in the heart of the conflict, and he matter-of-factly, about like telling me how to get to the library, told me that he'd just shot some little children who were running alongside his troop truck, and was telling me about how they might have been ready to throw a grenade into the truck. And I thought, good Lord, how far have we descended? But unfortunately, I knew something about the Phoenix program, so I had a better idea of how far we'd descended. The main character, a boy named Carl Isaacson, descended into madness. He was betrayed, and as a matter of fact, the CIA did betray a number of its agents, a number of its contract agents. There's even a suit going on in California over that now. And he then got revenge. It was sort of the feeling, this revenge is an explosion of feeling against this program, against the misuse of Americans and American lives, against the abuse that was suffered in Vietnam. It's a thing we should be sad about. I was in...
We've got about 1 minute, Carl.
Yeah, I was in Vietnam seeing the American War Crimes Museum in 1996. I watched a tall, strong, soldierly-looking, middle-aged man stand there, an American, and weep. The things that were seen in that museum were terribly disheartening. He walked over and threw all of his hard-won medals in a box, and the box was full of American medals. That's the way I feel about the CIA here. I think this is a stirring story about a subject we ought to know about, and I think it's a lot of fun reading. It's exciting.
Thanks for being my guest today. I appreciate it. Maybe we will meet.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later, Carl. Thank you for being our guest.
All right.
And now before we close the show, there's just time for one last cast. Today's one last cast is titled Misshapen 2. Misshapen, 12 foot long, constructed of quarter-inch plywood and covered with two layers of fiberglass, gained her name by an error in her construction. Misshapen came into being in 1958 for the sole purpose of taking two new Alaskans to the Kenai Peninsula's newly accessible Swanson River. In the water, Misshapen was stable with her 24 inches of freeboard and high bow. The bow is what gave her her name. One of Misshapen's gunnels was longer than the other, causing a wow in the bow. She always looked like she was turning right, even when turning left. The balance of her lines were fit and perfectly suited for her measure of creation. Frank Ackerman and I, builders of Misshapen, took her to the Kenai each Friday evening and brought her back home Saturday night for most of the summer of her birth. Swanson River, a newly discovered fishing stream, produces catches of rainbow trout. Although small in size, huge in numbers. Frank and I were novice anglers and made the mistake of bragging about our Kenai catches until a couple of our friends began to believe us. For the first few weeks of summer, Frank and I had the river to ourselves, just us and the river and the fishing. Then one Friday evening, as we pulled into our customary parking spot on the river's edge, we saw another car with an empty canoe rack on top. We were, well, maybe not devastated, but certainly disappointed to think that someone was on our river catching our fish and seeing our moose. And then we recognized the car as belonging to one of our friends. The week before, Frank and I accidentally found a small stream entering the Swanson. The Swanson in many places is more swamp than river. At one of these swampy spots, a side stream enters at just such an angle that it melts into the river a few yards from where it emerges from a tangled growth of willows, which further hides the stream from the casual boater. The week before, we forced our way through the tangled wall of willows and discovered a picture-perfect trout stream, complete with deep pools and riffles holding trillions of hungry rainbow. We thought we'd died and gone to heaven, and to our regret, we were free to tell in our friends about our discovery. Now they were in their canoe on our river waiting for us to find them and show them our newly magazine cover-like rainbow hole. Seeing our friend's car parked in our spot and knowing that they were upriver in their canoe woke Frank and I up. As we went up the river, we resolved that we would never again say anything about the Swanson, the rainbow, or our newly discovered rainbow factory, and further, would die before we showed it to anyone. As we approached the entrance of our secret hole, we could see our friends in their canoe further up the river. We let them get out of sight around a bend, and we slipped misshapen into the clear water, slough-like little stream's tall grass-lined delta. We pulled misshapen as deep into the willows as we could, which perfectly hid our presence from anyone traveling the river and not knowing the little stream was there. We fished and we fished. We caught and we released, and we heard the putt-putt of our friends' outboard going up and down the river, oblivious of us secreted away beyond their searching eyes. We never again told anyone of our Swanson River successes or the location of our private fish hatchery. We even almost lied when our friends asked us where we were as they motored up and down the river, not finding us nor the fish. We let them go away thinking our tales of the previous week's trips were just fish stories. I don't think they ever fished the Swanson again. And if you've heard about the Swanson River rainbow, I know you didn't hear it from Frank or I. And don't go running down to the Kenai when the ice goes out. You don't believe there really is such a place, do you? And that there ever even was a boat named Misshapen. My gratitude goes to our loyal listener. Without you, this show would not be possible. Thanks for listening. When you go outdoors, take a young person with you and teach them by your example what it means to be a sportsman. Sportsmanship isn't something you do. Sportsmanship is what you are. Behind the wheel or in the boat, on the road or in the field, take the high trail. Be a courteous driver, recreate within the law, and please don't litter. Goodbye and good luck. May God bless you in the land of the midnight sun, and may your days be happy and long in Alaska's outdoors. Tomorrow, as always, we'll bring you accurate and authentic answers for Alaskans by Alaskans. In the meantime, keep in touch.